From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to a special July 4th edition of Washington Watch. This year, as we celebrate the 244th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the birth of our nation, we do so with a backdrop of difficulty and uncertainty. For that very reason, it is essential that we look back on the founding of this nation to the circumstances, the challenges of that day, and the indispensable biblical principles that provided the very foundation for America. It is that foundation that has been chipped away at for decades, but today, in this moment, it is under unprecedented assault. How should followers of Jesus Christ who believe the truth of Scripture respond to the challenges of this moment? Well, this week, FRC hosted a special broadcast entitled Arise and Stand that featured a number of special guests. The messages are so timely that I wanted to share some of them with you. I think you will be heartened. In fact, I would suggest over the weekend, as you gather with family and friends, or even in your small groups, in person or online, that you listen to these encouraging words.
I'm Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, headquartered here in Washington, D.C. And I want to welcome you to this special broadcast entitled Arise and Stand. In the 11th Psalm, as chaos and uncertainty confronted him, David asked the question, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, the advice from those around him, those who were looking at things solely in the natural, run, flee as a bird to the mountains. But David knew he could not hide. Too much was at stake. If law and order, the foundations, were destroyed, what would the righteous do? What hope, what future would they have? Listen to his answer. He goes on to say, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. He says, in the Lord I take refuge. With the foundations of our nation being shaken with protests and riots, with uncertainty spreading like the coronavirus that has created it, with lawlessness breaking out in the streets and courtrooms alike, it is not time to flee to the mountains or retreat into hiding out of fear. No, it is time to arise and stand, to seek the Lord on behalf of our nation and stand firm upon the truth, which is the foundation for all just and prosperous societies. Now, several months ago, we planned two special broadcasts for June, one at the beginning and one at the end of the month. The purpose was to share with our partners across the nation what we had accomplished during our fiscal year and how they could be a part of the work before us in the new fiscal year that starts this week. However, the uncertainty created by the pandemic and then the chaos which followed as rioting occurred in cities across the nation, we chose to turn our collective focus to prayer. It was in our plan to focus tonight on the opportunities for families across the country to join with us financially and help us begin July 1st strong and fully funded, as the need for our presence has never been more significant. Now, you can still partner with us online or by texting the word ARISE, that's A-R-I-S-E, to 91999. That's 91999. But the challenges have only intensified this month, prompting many to ask, what are we to do? How should we respond to the lawlessness and the cultural chaos? So that is going to be our focus tonight. As Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell recently pointed out on the Senate floor, watch this.
The United States of America can and should have nuanced conversations about our complex past. We can and should have discussions about our future. We can and should have peaceful protests. But this lawlessness serves none of that. It's just an alliance of convenience between angry criminals who think it's fun to wreak havoc and a slice of elite society that profits off saying our country is evil and deserves the abuse. Enough, Madam President. Enough. The vast majority of Americans know full well that imperfect heroes are still heroes, that our imperfect union is still the greatest nation in world history. The Americans know our imperfect framers built on a nation on moral truths that have fueled improvement beyond anything their generation could have built themselves. We thank God that all kinds of imperfect people have made us a more perfect union. And when the dust settles, it is never, never the mobs or bullies whom we honor. It is the brave leaders who confront them.
The lawlessness that Senator McConnell referred to that threatens the stability of this country is not limited to the streets. I would argue that the acrid soil that gives rise to lawlessness on our streets was cultivated by the lawlessness that was once again seen from the court, as Missouri Senator Josh Hawley pointed out.
It is truly a historic piece of legislation. In fact, you might well argue it is one of the most significant and far-reaching updates to that historic piece of legislation since it was adopted all of those years ago. And make no doubt about it. I mean, make no mistake. This decision, this piece of legislation, will have effects that range from employment law to sports to churches. There's only one problem with this piece of legislation. It was issued by a court, not by a legislature. It was written by judges, not by the elected representatives of the people. If this case makes anything clear, it is that the bargain that has been offered to religious conservatives for years now is a bad one. It's time to reject it. The bargain has never been necessarily explicitly articulated, but religious conservatives know what it is. The bargain is that you go along with the party establishment, you support their policies and priorities, or at least keep your mouth shut about it, and in return, the establishment will put some judges on the bench who supposedly will protect your constitutional rights to freedom of worship, to freedom of exercise. That's been what we're told for years now. And we were told that we're supposed to shut up while the party establishment focuses more on cutting taxes and handing out favors for corporations, multinational corporations who don't share our values, who will not stand up for American principles. Now, we're supposed to stay quiet about all of that and more because there'd be pro-constitution religious liberty judges, except that there aren't. It's time for religious conservatives to take the lead rather than being pushed to the back. It's time for religious conservatives to stand up and speak out rather than being told to sit down and shut up.
Senator Hawley was referencing the recent Supreme Court decision of Bostock that redefined the word sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation in the 1964 Civil Rights Act. You know, America has issues, and we've had issues from the very founding. We've never been a perfect nation, and I can say with confidence, we will never be. But as those gathered at the Constitutional Convention wrote in the preamble to the Constitution, they said, we, the people, in an effort to form a more perfect union, that forming of perfection, pursuing it, is the work of each successive generation, to make America a better nation, to right the wrongs and move us toward the realization of the ideals and principles of the Declaration of Independence, which as a nation we will celebrate this weekend. Remember the preamble? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There is a division in America today, and there are those who are seeking to exploit this division for the purpose of destroying the republic. As we focus in this program tonight, our featured guest will include Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary of HUD, Chairman of the Republican Study Committee, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson, Chairwoman of the Values Action Team, Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, Pastor Garland Hunt, Pastor Hernan Castano, one of the Houston Five, Pastor Carter Conlon, overseer of the Times Square Church in New York City, and author of It's Time to Pray. Also, former Congresswoman and presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann will join us. Former Cincinnati, Ohio Mayor Ken Blackwell. And of course, no program would be complete without my favorite general, FRC's Executive Vice President, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. But before we hear from our first guest, I want to finish setting the stage for our time together. Here is one final clip of a young white girl chiding police about being racist. Among the officers, as you will see in a moment, is a black police officer who was defending his fellow white officer from the verbal assault of this misguided young woman. Despite the white officer telling the girl he was married to a black woman, she insists he is racist because he is white. Listen carefully to this powerful exchange.
The world has a sin problem, ma'am. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? America and the world has a sin problem. You understand me? That's where racism, injustice, and hate and anger and violence come from. It's not about racism.
You can be racist with a black wife.
Absolutely.
Wow. You understand me? Read the Bible.
That sums up America's problem. Yes, there are many symptoms, but the problem facing America is a sin problem. As the foundations are being shaken, it is time we humble ourselves, seek the face of the Lord. And as he sits on his heavenly throne, the foundation of which is righteousness and justice, and we turn from our wicked ways, then, as he has promised, he will heal our land. Join me as I open our time together tonight in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to join with folks all across this nation and literally around the world. As America is being tested and tried, as we are seeing the chaos and the lawlessness, the very foundations of our nation being shaken, Lord, as David 3,000 years ago was encouraged by some to flee to the mountains, to run, Lord, there are those that are encouraging the same type of actions. Just back up, disengage, ignore what is happening, go away, protect yourself. But Lord, we have a responsibility to be a testimony to the truth, to stand firm upon that truth and to proclaim that truth. And Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts to encourage us. We pray for our president. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the mayors and the governors. That, Lord, the decisions that would be in the best interest of the peace of this republic would be made. Guide our conversations tonight, and may we be encouraged in the time that we spend together. And I pray a blessing upon all of our partners out there across America who are standing with us in this time of great challenge. Lord, we will not shrink back. Strengthened by you, led by the Holy Spirit, we will not grow silent. But we will arise and we will stand. We thank you for being with us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we return, we'll be joined by Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson and Bishop Garland Hunt. Don't go away. More of this special July 4th edition of Washington Watch coming up right after these messages. Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold.
Absent fathers, distracted fathers, and angry fathers have created a vacuum of the soul in the lives of many children. Pornography is epidemic, affecting the male brain, isolating his heart, and degrading women who long to be cherished. Confusion and even skepticism about marriage run rampant, especially in our younger generations. Selfishness among men has led to broken homes and a trail littered with broken hearts, including their own. Where can you turn to find the solutions to these problems? Leadership and Love, A Tale of Two Fathers, is a new publication from Family Research Council that takes a look at two men, Joshua and the father of the prodigal son, as strong examples of leadership and love. It also weaves in an understanding of attachment science to underscore the needs of children, which need to be met to become emotionally healthy and spiritually strong. Visit frc.org/fathers to learn more.
In today's culture, it can be difficult for men to navigate what it means to be a man and to find clear models of masculinity and manhood. There are many competing ideas out there and even confusion around the basic concepts of gender and sex. Where can boys, young men, husbands, and fathers find a model of manhood, leadership, and strength in today's culture of confusion? This is Tony Perkins inviting you to join me at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference led by men who are seasoned, compassionate leaders who understand the issues of the day. These issues will invest in unpacking our role as defenders, providers, instructors, and battle buddies so that men can have generational influence as a chaplain inside and outside the home. Join us at one of our upcoming events in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, or Virginia. Learn more about Stand Courageous and find an event near you at StandCourageous.com. That's StandCourageous.com. StandCourageous.com. It is the firm word of God that gives us our peace. It is the very thing that people, in the culture, are trying to push out. But that is the source of our strength, and it is the foundation upon which we stand. And when you look at what's happening on our streets, what is happening in our courtrooms, as we made reference to earlier, it's a part of the chaos. It is a part of the lawlessness. Joining me now to talk more about this, Congressman Mike Johnson, who represents the 4th Congressional District of my home state of Louisiana. He also is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. Prior to being elected to Congress, he was co-counsel for the state and helped defend Louisiana's health regulation case on abortion clinics that was actually decided today in the Supreme Court. On January 2nd, 2020, Congressman Johnson and Republican Whip Steve Scalise led a bicameral bipartisan amicus brief of the 207 members of Congress in support of the state's Louisiana's ability to pass common sense health and safety standards. Mike, welcome to our program tonight.
Hey, Tony, it's great to be with you, and this is an important event you're having.
And I also want to bring in Bishop Garland Hunt. He pastors the Father's House in Atlanta, Georgia, and he, too, is an attorney. In fact, in 2004, he was appointed to the Georgia State Board of Pardons and Parole by Governor Sonny Perdue, and he served as chairman of the parole board in 2006. In 2010, he was appointed commissioner of the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice, and just recently, on Juneteenth, he, as the co-founder of the One Race Movement, hosted a march on Atlanta, a faith-based march designed to bring together churchgoers from different denominations and cultures with the hope of encouraging lawmakers to craft laws that were equitable to all people. Garland, welcome to the program as well.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be here.
Well, gentlemen, I do thank you for joining us tonight. And I want to start with you, Congressman Johnson. Court decisions coming down both last week and this week. Cases, the Bostock case in which the 1964 Civil Rights Act we made reference to earlier, the court redefining the word sex. And then earlier today, a case you're very familiar with, I'm very familiar with, coming out of our home state of Louisiana regarding abortion clinic regulation acts, something you and I were involved in all the way back to the first piece of legislation there in Louisiana. The courts are creating a sense of lawlessness, are they not?
They are. And I would commend to everyone's reading some of the dissents that were filed in this abortion case today, Tony, out of the Supreme Court. If you look at what Justice Clarence Thomas wrote, he points out the fact that the court has far exceeded and overstepped its bounds. They are operating in an extra constitutional manner right now, meaning outside the bounds of what they're limited to under Article 3 of the Constitution. They're effectively legislating from the bench. And they're making law as they go along. This is exactly what the founding fathers warned against and hoped would never occur. And this is what we have with regularity now.
And Garland, you've seen this as both an attorney, as a pastor, being on the pardon and the parole board, working to see whether it's lawlessness on the street. There is a connection to the lawlessness by those who wear black robes. If they're going outside the bounds of the Constitution, if we can't trust our establishments to uphold the law, I mean, where do we find law and order?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm very, very concerned about is that people are crying out for justice and they're in the street asking for it. But the reality of it is that many times they're looking for it subjectively as it relates to their political ambitions or even their race. So justice from God, though, it has to do with the heart. He's real concerned about the heart of the people, whether it's black-white relationships, whether it's the heart of the people, whether it's the legislation, whether it's the law enforcement. He's really concerned. That's one of the reasons that we had this big march is because we really wanted to trigger in the hearts of people that the Lord is fair and things are righteous. And so in this particular case, whether it's the Supreme Court, whether it's the law enforcement, whether it's the court opinion, that we have to have our hearts right. Otherwise, we try to legislate right there at the courtroom.
That is so true. And Congressman Mike Johnson, you know, you're a constitutional attorney, religious liberty attorney. That's what you did before you came to Congress. When we look at these decisions, number one, as you just pointed out in one of the dissenting opinions, it's outside the bounds of the Constitution. But there's something even more striking about many of these decisions, and I go back to the Bostock decision from last week, is that it goes beyond the laws of nature and of certainly the moral law of God, and that's where we lose the very foundation that keeps our society together.
I love what you said, Tony, in the opening tonight about Psalm 11:3, if the foundations are destroyed, what would the righteous do? It used to be kind of a rhetorical question for our generation, and now it's a question that we really do have to answer. Those foundations are under direct assault right now from all sides, and we have to recognize that. Remember what the founders said, that the visionary principles that they set forth, the creed that is called for in the declaration that you quoted earlier, the self-evident truth, they said, we acknowledge that all men are created by God, and therefore, if we're made in his image and he gives us our rights, all those rights are we're all endowed with the same rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. These foundational ideas are under assault right now. And I always think about what the first two presidents said was the key to maintaining a republic, remembering that we're still an experiment on the world stage. I mean, a self-governing constitutional republic, no one knows how long this is going to last. We're just about to celebrate our 244th birthday, July 4th, but this thing could go either way. But remember what Washington said. He famously warned us. He said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are the indispensable supports. And then John Adams came next and he said, our Constitution is made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. I just agree with what the bishop said there. It's a heart condition, and we have to go right to the root of the problem, and that's what we all have to work on today.
You're listening to a special July 4th edition of Washington Watch, excerpts from a broadcast at the FRC headquarters earlier this week entitled Arise and Stand. It featured a number of special guests, including the Secretary of HUD, Dr. Ben Carson, Pastor Carter Conlon of Times Square Church in New York City, and we'll hear the rest of my interview with the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, Mike Johnson, and the pastor of My Father's House, Bishop Garland Hunt, when we return. You can find a link to the entire broadcast that included Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, chairman of the House Values Action Team, Pastor Hernan Castano, one of the Houston Five, along with an interview with former Cincinnati, Ohio Mayor Ken Blackwell and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com and you can hear the entire Arise and Stand broadcast. All right, stay tuned. More of this July 4th edition coming up next here on Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
Christians have a biblical obligation to participate in government? Do Christians have a duty to vote? And if so, what principles should inform them while casting their ballots? How should pastors think about politics? And how can they shepherd their congregations well during an election season? The gospel of Jesus Christ has implications for all areas of our life, including politics. Christians must be prepared to grapple with the moral issues of our day, the reality of our two-party system, and follow our Christian convictions to their logical end by voting for candidates that support clear biblical values. Family Research Council has partnered with 21 state family policy councils for a new edition of Biblical Principles for Political Engagement. This booklet provides biblical wisdom and clear answers to pivotal questions to help you navigate the political landscape. This publication exists to facilitate careful thinking about issues and encourage God-honoring political engagement that filters all issues and candidates through a biblical worldview. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/engage.
Not so long ago, sex education in public schools involved learning about human growth and development and listening to advice on how to be careful, respect others, and save sex for marriage. Things are very different today. Parents have two main concerns about sex ed: that it sexualizes children and that it's loaded with LGBTQ indoctrination. Family Research Council has released a new resource to address this issue titled Sex Education in Public Schools: Sexualization of Children and LGBT Indoctrination. This resource reveals troubling examples of the agenda-driven content being pushed in modern sex ed and exposes the powerful organizations behind it all. Finally, it offers some action steps for parents to consider in their fight to protect the health and innocence of their children. For more information about sex education in public schools and to view this resource, visit frc.org/sexeducation. That's frc.org/sexeducation.
Welcome back to this special July 4th edition of Washington Watch. We pick up where we left off with Congressman Mike Johnson and Bishop Garland Hunt.
Bishop, that brings me to what you said earlier about so many people saying we want justice, demanding justice, and we should pursue justice, righteousness and justice, the foundation of God's throne. But in order to have justice, and I want to speak to the church for just a moment, and you as a bishop, the church, if we want justice, and we should, we have to have the Word of God. It has to be built upon His truth. And so, therefore, we cannot shrink back in this moment when there are those that are hostile toward biblical truth. As pastors, we need to step forward and proclaim this truth now so that we might have justice.
That's so correct, Tony. One of my real concerns, and this is a common denominator from what we're talking about with the court, even to protests in the street as it relates to racial justice, is the whole idea that we all created in the image of God, the Imago Dei, because He created us in our likeness. Whether you're dealing with abortion issues, a baby in the womb, same thing. This baby was created by God. If you're dealing with racial issues, we're dealing with God created all the races, created by God. So we start talking about justice, the scriptures are full of the requirement of justice. He's expecting the church to be an advocate for justice. But in the context of that, it can't be subjective based upon a person's political ideology, which I think sometimes happens even in the court, as well as it can happen in law enforcement. It can happen in courtrooms. It can happen with DAs. If a person does what they feel like is up to them subjectively, then that's not God's judgment, but a biblical justice. And it's interesting, too, even justice and judgment are used synonymously sometimes in Scripture, where God's judgment and justice is fair to God, and we're looking for His justice. Therefore, we are all created in His image, regardless whether you're black or white, regardless of you're Hispanic, regardless whether you're in the womb or out, still we have to protect the justice from God and be an advocate, a strong advocate for it. And therefore, I believe right now the church has to be an advocate for God's justice, biblical justice, which is our requirement and our standard.
Congressman Mike Johnson, that really prompts me to ask this question, as Bishop Garland was talking, that this sounds like Old Testament times where every man did what was right in his own eyes, and there was no common foundation. And there's a tendency right now with all of the chaos, the uncertainty, the confusion that's out there. People want to, Christians, I should say, want to step back. This is an uncomfortable situation. Things are not going the way that they had hoped. But if anything, this is the time to press in, because we need to speak truth. Because without that, there's not going to be a common foundation for us to stand on as a nation, as you pointed out earlier, that the founders made very clear.
It's so true, Tony. And we have a biblical admonition to contend for the faith, right? Not just when it's easy, but especially when it's difficult. And we are going to be the salt and the light. That's what we're called to be as the church, as believers. And the light always dispels the darkness. The darkness can't snuff it out. And so we have to hold the light high. We have to be bold as we ever have. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared. Give an answer for the hope that you have. And we do have hope. The key to it in the beginning, I think, is what Bishop's touching on. I agree wholeheartedly. We ought to remember to see one another as fellow Americans, but even more fundamental than that, the solution to this is to see one another as God sees us. Because he's exactly right. Every single person made in the image of God, it means that every single person has inestimable dignity and value. And our value is not related in any way to the color of our skin or what zip code we live in or where we went to college or how good looking we are. It's totally irrelevant. Our value is inherent because it's given to us by God. Gentlemen, that is the foundational creed of America. That is the animating principle that sparked the American Revolution. It was a promissory note, that declaration, to future generations of Americans. And as we're on this path of making a more perfect union, that is the place that we begin. And if we can do that, and if the church can bring that message, the church is the only one that really can, I think it'll resonate through the culture.
We cannot shrink back from that truth at all. If anything, now is the time to arise and stand and press in with that truth. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us. But before we depart, Bishop, I'm going to ask you to pray for Congressman Johnson and his colleagues that are there, are here, rather, in Washington, advocating for these very principles that many pulpits, more need to, but many pulpits preach about, as you do yourself. So would you pray for him?
I would be happy to. Well, dear Lord, I first thank you, Lord, for Congressman Mike Johnson. I thank you, Lord, that he is standing as a statesman. And I think about Wilberforce, and I think about those that have dealt in the political area, and they had to deal with issues even when it was contrary to the popular opinion, and it may have been contrary to even a party. But, Lord, I do pray, Father, that, Lord, you will continue to strengthen congressmen like him also, that they will stand for righteousness. They will stand for truth. They will stand for integrity. And regardless of what obstacles come about them or come or toward them, Lord, no matter what, even if the enemy comes in like a flood, I thank you that they raise a banner right there in the courtroom, right there in the legislature. They raise a banner for righteousness. So thank you for strengthening the congressmen and those that have been also standing alone in many cases, but they are encouraged by the church. They're encouraged, I believe, by God to stand as righteous statesmen in the courtroom and in the legislature. So thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Congressman Mike Johnson, Bishop Garland Hunt, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Glad to be with you. God bless.
Thank you.
Stick around. Dr. Ben Carson and Pastor Carter Conlon of Times Square Church in New York City are next on this special July 4th edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come after this.
Could you use some timely and original commentary to read this summer, specifically on the issues facing our culture today? FRCblog.com has just what you're looking for. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts, members of the Family Research Council team, as well as outside contributors. You can learn about religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture. Check out this list of a few of our most recent titles. What does it mean to be a woman? D.C. Christians take to the streets to sing, lament, and pray, and prayerfully responding to civil unrest. At Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in the culture by helping you to live out your faith and stand for truth. Our blog helps you do just that. Stay informed and get the resources you need at frcblog.com. On April 16th, President Trump and the White House Coronavirus Task Force announced a three-phase plan with guidelines for how states can begin scaling back restrictions. Churches should begin putting in place plans to reopen and operate their ministries according to the guidance of the Centers for Disease Control as state officials begin lifting orders. Here at Family Research Council, we have summarized the White House three-phase plan and how it relates to in-person church meetings and gatherings. Check out our resource, What Pastors Should Know About the White House Plan to Open Up America Again. Our resource offers practical guidelines for how churches and houses of worship can begin to operate safely as our country reopens. Visit frc.org/church guidelines to view this resource and learn more. There, you'll also find our full list of resources for churches in the time of coronavirus. Again, that's frc.org/church guidelines.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
Welcome back to this special July 4th edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We're playing excerpts from a broadcast entitled Arise and Stand that FRC did earlier this week at our headquarters in Washington, D.C. Many of our listeners have been asking the question, how do we respond to what is happening in our country today? The very foundation of our nation is being shaken. The protests, the rioting, the looting, the unconstitutional legislating from the nation's highest court. Lawlessness has been unleashed. And of course, the coronavirus that seemed to lead the way into this chaos and uncertainty continues. We turn now to that and to the need to pray for our nation with Dr. Ben Carson and Pastor Carter Conlon of Times Square Church in New York City.
You know, with the coronavirus, as we were just talking earlier in the program, there's a fear. But the Lord delivers us from our fear. And this is one of the reasons I'm so grateful for the men and women in this administration who do not hide their faith. In fact, they run to it. And one of the most calming voices throughout this entire pandemic has been the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson. He is a member of the President's Coronavirus Task Force, obviously because of his medical background, but also, I think, because of his calming presence. And I'm so glad to have him joining us tonight. Dr. Carson, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm always happy to be with you, Tony, and your programs are absolutely inspirational.
Well, let's talk about head-on one of the big issues, fear, because we're now hearing in the media, and of course, I take that with a grain of salt, but a rise in the coronavirus cases again. What are we facing, and how are we successfully going to navigate through this?
Well, as most people will remember, when we went into shutdown mode, we made it very clear that when we opened up again, that there would be spikes. So this is totally expected, but it's probably a bit more and more prolonged than we thought because people have relaxed. they said, well, you know, the crisis is over. So you saw over the last few weeks, you know, thousands and thousands of people marching. You saw people gathering together at beaches, in closed settings. So all of these things obviously contribute, particularly if you don't have a mask on. But one of the things that you don't hear much about is the fact that the mortality rate has decreased dramatically. So even though, let's say, on Friday we had 40,000 new diagnoses, we had 650 deaths. Now, 2 months ago, we had nowhere near 40,000 cases, and we were having 2,500 deaths a day. So are we making progress? Absolutely. We're learning more about this. We're learning how to treat it. We're learning how to avoid it. So, but we still have work to do, and it's incumbent upon each person to recognize, even if you're young and vigorous and very unlikely to be impacted yourself, because 25 to 50% of people are completely asymptomatic, you can still be a carrier. And in fact, the best thing to do is to assume that you're an asymptomatic carrier, particularly if you live around or spend a lot of time around elderly and infirmed people.
Dr. Carson, talking about those numbers, is the rise in the number of cases, is that in part due to the expansion of the testing, that we actually have more tests out there now? We've expanded that so dramatically that obviously we're going to have the report of more cases. But as you pointed out, the big number is the deaths, but also the hospitalizations.
Yeah, well, without question, if you test more people, you're going to find more positive people, particularly given the fact that we have so many who are asymptomatic carriers. And that point is not made very often by the media, who sometimes seem to have another motive. But, you know, we are doing well. The medical profession has learned a lot about how to treat this, how to get in there early. We have some interventions like remdesivir. There are other things on the horizon. So there's absolutely no reason for people to panic here. You know, all we have to do is bridge the gap. We had an extremely dynamic economy going into this. The fundamentals of that economy are still in place. All we have to do is bridge the gap. Don't panic. Don't withdraw. We must dominate the virus. We must not let the virus dominate us. And we have every ability to do just that.
Well, Dr. Carson, I'm going to go beyond the virus for just a moment, because the virus has dominated the news, at least up until about 4 weeks ago, and it's been vying back and forth between that and the rioting, the looting, the protest. But lost in a lot of this is what is really happening, and those things are real. I mean, I'm not dismissing them at all. But what many people will miss is a lot of the accomplishments of this administration continuing to do the daily work while dealing with these crises.
This administration has accomplished a lot of things. And interestingly, you know, with all the rioting and the protests that are going on, particularly in the African-American community, it is completely lost that this is an administration that started the Opportunity Zones, encouraging people to take unrealized capital gains and invest them in economically neglected areas. That makes a big difference, and that program is proceeding very nicely. This is the administration that finally got some alterations in a positive fashion in the justice system for people who were going to jail when they didn't need to go to jail, when there were other remedies. This is the administration that brought the HBCU office into the White House, providing them twice as much funding as they were having before with a persistent stream. This is the administration that has been advocating for school choice because that is such an important concept. It doesn't matter where a person comes from in the socioeconomic atmosphere. If they get a good education, they're going to do just fine. And yet we have so many people who are trying to prevent school choice. This administration is not shying away from those fundamental issues that cause people to be in poverty, that cause people to be at increased risk.
Yeah, those are important policy initiatives that we simply cannot lose sight of, because they would not be happening if we didn't have the leadership team that this president has assembled. And Dr. Carson, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for your continued calming presence on the national stage. And if you don't mind, as we finish our time together, would it be okay if I pray for you?
More than okay. I would love that.
All right, folks, I want to ask you just to join me as I pray for Dr. Carson, as he is a key member of the president's team here in Washington. Father, we thank you for Dr. Carson and for placing him in the position that he's in a position of influence, a position of service. But I thank you that he's willing to do that. He doesn't need this position. He has served so remarkably well, and you have prospered him, Lord, from the beginning of his as his youth, as his mother just poured into his life to teach him to read, but also, Lord, taught him the truth of your word. And so, Father, I thank you for him and pray a blessing upon him and his staff, and pray that you would continue to bring the increase to the work of his hands. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Carson, thank you. If there was ever a time that we needed to look to God as our refuge and our strength, this is certainly one of those times. And joining me now by phone is a dear friend and a member of the board of directors at the Family Research Council. He is the general overseer of Times Square Church in New York City and the author of the book, It's Time to Pray. And that alone is enough to set up the interview with Pastor Carter. Pastor Carter, welcome to our program tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, the title of that book will never be out of date or out of season, and it's particularly relevant today. It is time to pray for our nation.
It is. And you'll notice on the cover of the book, I'm at an altar with a pastor from Selma, Alabama, after I had just spoken in what was a consistently large meeting on the topic of amalgamating the black and the white church together into one fellowship. And so I had no idea that we're going to be in such a crisis moment in our society at the time of writing the book, but it seems to be really appropriate today.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to ask you just to pray for us as we gather from across the nation here by technology. Pray for our nation, pray for the way forward, for the healing, but pray for the church, that we would not shrink back in this moment of crisis, this moment of challenge. This is a time the church needs to step forward, to arise and stand.
And Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just ask you for the courage that you once gave to your early church. In the book of Acts chapter 4, when they were threatened and commanded not to speak anymore about this man, Jesus Christ, Lord, they looked at the authorities and they said, it's better to obey God than to obey man. And going to prayer, they asked you, Lord, that you would grant them with great boldness they may speak your word, and that you would stretch forth your hand and begin to heal. And Lord, we ask you to use your church in this generation as a vehicle for healing for this society we're now living in, for our families, our homes, our children, the confusion that abounds in our streets. It seems every strata of society is now mired in confusion and weakness. And so, Lord, we ask you once again, in mercy, stretch your hand out through your church, and use us as vessels, God, that bring healing into places where only you can. They described it as miracle healing, so let it be, Lord. Our home, the civility among races, and different stratas of our society, Lord God, stretch your hand out through your church. Give your servants who stand in pulpit power again to speak your word without compromise. Give your people the ability and the courage to speak over the top of their own fear and to begin to believe there's a higher calling than just personal safety. Help us to love even our enemies, God, as you call us to, and to be kind and to be civil with all men, all women, all children of every persuasion. Use us to make a difference in this generation. Oh, God Almighty, we ask in Jesus' name, give us one more great spiritual awakening in this country. Let multitudes turn back to you again and prepare your house and prepare your people to receive a harvest. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, because it always triumphs over judgment. Give us a moment of great, great mercy in this nation. And we ask for your power in a new and unprecedented way in our generation. Help us and give us grace and give us strength. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Carter, thank you so much for joining us, but thank you for modeling a life of prayer and a life of standing for the truth of God's word.
God bless you, Tony. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to excerpts from a special broadcast from FRC entitled Arise and Stand that aired earlier this week. I hope you were encouraged by what you have heard. You can actually watch the entire broadcast by going to tonyperkins.com. Biblical scholars suggest David wrote Psalm 11 when he was fleeing from Absalom and the army he had assembled that was descending upon Jerusalem. Betrayal, upheaval, in other words, lawlessness was being unleashed. Of course, David was not without fault on what had come about, but those close to him were telling him to flee to the mountains, run, hide, save yourself. David replied, "And if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do?" Meaning, if the foundation of justice and truth are abandoned, what will we do? Rather than hide, David said, "In the Lord I will place my trust." David regrouped, and he took a stand for truth and justice, even against his own son. The result? The foundations of the kingdom were preserved. We must resist the suggestion and even the temptation to retreat from public discourse, from standing up for what we know to be true, from defending the foundations of this country of ours. When we consider the cost that many of the founders paid to establish this country and the price others have paid to sustain this nation, can we really say the cost is too high for us? When what we're talking about is little more than public mockery and rejection on mindless social media platforms, or the ignorant use of labels like bigot and racist that are designed to marginalize and silence? Thank God, Jesus and the disciples were not timid, nor were they swayed by the threats and the false accusations of men. And thank God the founders of this nation were not either. Take time this weekend to pray for our nation, for our leaders, for our communities, and ask God for the healing this nation so desperately needs as we turn to Him with repentant hearts. Again, I would encourage you to listen to this broadcast or the entire Arise and Stand broadcast with your family or small group this weekend. You can find the link at tonyperkins.com. From all of us here at the Family Research Council and from Washington Watch, we pray that you and your family will have a thoughtful and meaningful July 4th. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, "When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing."
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.